This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Then I just had to look this up, and it's bad. Cooper Rush has five career appearances against Washington, okay?
Uh-huh.
Not all starts, because sometimes the Cowboys were just kicking Washington's ass so bad that they put in the backup.
Uh-huh.
In five career games against Washington, Cooper Rush has a 4-1 record, completing 66% of his passes for five touchdowns and zero interceptions, good for a 117.1 passer rating.
See, I kind of knew a lot of those numbers.
You knew where they were headed.
He had done he's had success against us. And that's why when people are like, oh, Cooper Rush, I'm like, he beat us before.
Yo,
I know that record, though.
Cooper Rush's career TD to INT ratio, right? So he's got five touchdowns, no picks against Washington. In the rest of the against the rest of the league, he's got seven touchdowns and seven picks.
Mm.
Like it's 1-1 against everybody else. Mm. We're gonna open these phone lines up. I like this tweet from Angry Rob. He said, "I don't know how you and Brian can do it. Every time I start to talk about the game yesterday, a torrent of expletives rains forth."
We don't want to get fined.
Fined, fired, any of it.
Yeah, I don't know if you're fined or fired.
I kind of want to let Jeff go because Jeff was just in here talking about a plan of hiding in B. Mitch's trunk. And Jeff's got some passion to work through. And the phones are packed right now, so nobody's calling right now, Jeff, just because they're all full. So, Jeffrey, why don't you start us off with your blame pot, pal? How do you do?
Oh, I'm not good, JP. I cussed out half my family yesterday. I don't think I could go to Thanksgiving.
Who all in the family is a Cowboys fan? Because your dad's a Steelers fan.
Yes, but on my mom's side, all her brothers except one are Cowboys fans. Mm. She has four. My granddad's a Cowboys fan. I have cousins. And I didn't.
How did you make it to be such a diehard Burgundy and Gold fan, surrounded by
Mama
Steeler?
My mom and my uncle. It's crazy. My
Mama kept it real.
On my dad's side, is a Redskins fan, Washington fan, and my mother was too. But dog, I was so hurt because I was talking so much trash going into Saturday. Then coming to Sunday, I'm telling my uncle. I didn't even see my uncle at the game yesterday. I was too embarrassed. I didn't. But my blame pie goes to the entire team and their alumni. So I'm going to go 30%.
Definitely the alumni.
30% offense, including their coordinator. 30% defense, including their coordinator. 30% special teams, including their coordinator. And the alumni, they get the 10%. Robert Griffin III, he thought it was cool to show up on Dallas Week in a corduroy orange suit with a black cowboy hat. What are you doing, Robert? Read the room. And then you take it off before you take the corduroy part off before the game to show your Jaden Daniels jersey. You didn't even wear a suit that would match the jersey when you took the shirt off. Bro, you caused us that game too, Robert. I'm mad at you. And I'm going to tweet you after this too. That's my blame pie.
Jeff started talking trash about Robert right next to his wife yesterday.
How'd that go,
and
Jeff?
Then once he realized his wife, did he still talk to her?
Yes. Yes.
She was, yeah. Why did he wear that color?
I'm like, yo, why? And then the dude beside me, like, yo, read the room, his wife next to you. And then when he says that, she looks at me. I say, look, I'm 30. When RG3 was here, it was coming out of high school for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, this was our guy. You know, like he was looked at as a Washington savior at one point, and you show up in a cowboy dressed as cosplaying a cowboy.
That's great use of cosplay. I also think like
it did look like Cincinnati Bengals colors.
Can I ask something? You were legend of the game, what, 3-4 weeks ago?
No, I wasn't legend of the game, I was just hitting the flag.
Okay. You were the flag guy. Yeah, I thought legend of the game is the flag guy. Because Robert
they just
was
happy to do the flag.
Well, Robert did the flag.
Yeah.
when you did the flag, you went out there and you waved the hell out of that flag.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think, oh, man, I should bring some props and really make this a theatrical performance?
No.
And did you think about changing your clothes while you were doing it?
No.
We didn't need all that. Like this, that was, I've been watching the Vince McMahon documentary on Netflix. Like, that was some WWE stuff that was unnecessary. It was Skins Cowboys. It's the biggest rival they got. You're a big deal, Robert. Just show up in regular clothes, wave to the crowd, and wave the flag.
My thing
people are going to be fired up.
If you wanted to be corny, bruh, just put on your old uniform and run out there. Like, yo, I would have rather you did that.
I'll go do that next year.
When he took all his layers off to reveal the jersey, I kind of thought it was going to be his.
Like, oh, if it would have been. Oh, Lord.
I also, like, if you're Jaden, I'm sure you appreciate Robert, the player, and the person. But, like, I don't think Jaden's side is trying to have this really close bond with Robert. You know what I mean? I don't know, but, like, did you see Chick said this in the press box yesterday. Sean Merriman responded to the picture of Robert wearing the Jaden jersey. And Merriman accomplished a lot in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And Merriman said something to the effect of, you know, I love watching Nick Bosa play and Khalil Mack's my favorite football player ever. But damn, if you ever see me wear their jersey. It's, I don't know that I've ever seen you in another jersey.
No.
I don't know. I'm glad we figured that out.
All right, Jeffrey.
Disappointed.
Yeah. All right, let's get to these phones. Let's start with Jamal is in D.C. What up, Jay? Who you mad at?
What's going on, fellas?
What up, brother?
Mad at the entire team, man. But if we gonna break it down, I'm gonna go 30% special teams, man. Like that was a horrible performance. I know they got the block and everything, but I agree with you, JP. Like kicking the ball to Turbin under any circumstances with his track record to me is just, I don't think that's the best idea. I disagree with the coach and his plan on that. That was just stupid. But I'm also gonna go 30% with the offense, with Cliff, man. I don't know what's going on, but I've had this irritation with us, y'all, that we just, for whatever reason, don't get the ball to Terry. And like, I feel like a broken record with that, especially watching how they did with CD. Like, either come out and tell us Terry isn't one of those players or find a way to use him like other people use him, because I'm tired of that, bro. Like, seriously, yeah, he's a dog. I don't care if you got to put him at fullback. You know, like, whatever you got to do, figure out a way to put the damn ball in Terry's hands more than you do. That has to be addressed going forward. I'm going to go 10% with the defense. I felt like they played, you know, a decent game, but they, you know, to me, play, you just got to make more plays, man. Like, they ran the ball on us all damn day. And I felt like they didn't make enough plays to prevent us from losing the game. And then the rest, I'm going with Jaden. Like, I know. And to me, with Jaden, I felt like it started before the game because he had an interview prior to the game where they asked him about the game. And he was like, oh, well, you know, it's just another game. And I get he's a rookie and all that, so I'm not going to hop on him too hard. But, nah, Jaden, this ain't another game, bro. Like, hell no, it's not. Like, it's never just another game, bro. And hopefully, when he does his interview this week, I would like for him to say that I get it now. I'm sorry I was rookie coming into it. I ain't get it. But moving forward, I understand this game means more. I can't just come out here and look at this as another game, man. Like, because like Jeff said, we was talking big trash, bro. And now we got to eat this crow all week listening to these Bammers with their sorry behind team because we lost to them. But that's where I'm going with my playing time. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Jamal. Appreciate you. Listen, phone lines are going to be open all the way to 12:30. So keep them coming, 800-636-1067. People are mad, B. I think people are deservedly mad. Got this one via Twitter. Nelson Jordan says, blame pie. Kingsbury, 30%. Daniels, 20%. 20% O-line, D-line. 10% to DQ. 10%. All the wideouts except McLaurin and 10% to Seibert. I want to blame Cliff a lot, but Jaden needs to play within the game, take the short throws, and move the chains.
Wasn't that a lot of what they were doing?
Yeah.
Throwing short throws?
Jaden's misses yesterday to me were deep.
Yeah.
The two deep shots they took early in the game, one to Terry, one to Brown. I think Brown wasn't open, but it wasn't a great throw. Terry was maybe had a half a step, but the throw was kind of out of bounds.
That's out of bounds. Brown had a chance to catch his ball.
Yeah, I thought Jaden played a lot better in the second half.
Jaden was super accurate early, but I don't think he has to throw every ball right into a damn person's chest for them to catch it. These dudes are receivers in the NFL. They got to catch some balls maybe outside of their body frame a little bit too.
I agree with you. I thought
I know Terry catches a lot of balls that you look at, you think he won't, but he will. So I'm not going to say that, oh, he got to throw them so perfect for the guys to just catch them.
For me, I thought Jaden in the first half was a little late at times. I thought there were spots where he has shown an elite ability to throw with anticipation. And in the first half, we didn't see that. Second half, we did. I thought part of me wonders if Jaden wasn't just like, damn, I really got to figure something out to get this team back going. And then they score that touchdown early in the third quarter and just allows him to build some confidence. Mm-hmm. He was – you can call it prevent D, whatever you want. There were the drive where they scored on the Zach Ertz touchdown, he was 7-for-7 on that drive. He was fantastic. A question for you, B, and my boy Parker texted me this last night. You know my buddy Parker.
Yeah.
Early on in the year, kind of throughout the game, they were playing with tempo.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always like a no huddle, but it was up tempo.
Yes.
And they have gotten away from that. I'm curious.
I think
why
it works for them. I don't know why they got away from it, but I know it works because anytime they get an up tempo, they go straight down the field.
How much of their inability to stay on the field to get some third down conversions plays into that? I mean, if you look at yesterday, they were 4-12 on third down. Somehow they lost to a team that was 2-11 on third down. But they were 4-12 on third down. They're not stringing together long drives. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, are you then hesitant to go to the turbo package?
I don't necessarily know if one affects the other because when they are going three and out, they're not in tempo. If they were in tempo and going three and out, then I would say I understand why they didn't stick with it. But the fact that they're in, not in tempo and not keeping the drive going, that's more troubling than anything. I always felt when you go in tempo, you know what you do? You stop them from substituting. You have an advantage over them. You dictate to them. And maybe that may be our plan every once in a while. Just do it. Figure it out.
Yeah, it's pretty darn interesting. Let's go to these phones. I got Bones is in D.C. What up, Bones?
Hey, what's up, JP? Shout out to my main man, B. Mitch. Shout out to Jeff.
What up, Bones?
I'm going to give 30% to the play caller, Cliff Kingsbury. I'm going to give 30% to the special teams. I'm going to give 30% to the kicker. And I'm going to give 10% to all them wideouts that was dropping them passes yesterday. Now, you understand, we've won 7 games. We got 5 more to go. You understand? I hopefully get these coaches together and get these players, man, ready to play the next game. I appreciate y'all. Love y'all, man. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Bones. Take care, Bones.
Appreciate you. So, B, I just pulled up the snap counts from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
John Bates is a hell of a player. He's a really nasty blocker. John Bates is going to play in the NFL for 10 years. He is a valuable player.
Mm-hmm.
Not really a dynamic offensive threat. And it's easy. We've talked about this. Like, people want to just be like, oh, Sennett needs to take Ertz's snaps. Ertz caught a touchdown yesterday. Mm-hmm. He is really sure-handed. Even though the drops have been a problem across the board, he runs really clean routes. Ertz yesterday, 76% of the snaps at the tight end position.
Mm-hmm.
John Bates, 41% of the snaps at the tight end position. Ben Sennett is at 30% of the snaps. I do think I said all year that I would expect Sennett and McCaffrey's offensive production to start increasing after Halloween, right? Well, now we're at Thanksgiving, and I wonder if those snap counts start to increase here. This is a relatively rudimentary breakdown. Like, I don't have down and distance attached to this stuff, which matters, especially with Bates. But Sennett perhaps this is anecdotal, I don't think he can't not block. I mean, the block he had on the Daniels option run touchdown was vicious.
Yeah.
So
he can block. But the thing about it, for a fan or either a media guy to say, oh, he should get snaps, we don't know what they're doing in practice. We probably don't know why they're not getting the snaps. Sometimes young guys learn and they get it. Sometimes they take them a little longer. So maybe they're not getting it done enough to be able to get those snaps.
Yeah, it's interesting. So the phone lines are going to remain open. Everybody's there. Stay there. We're going off phones for at least the next hour. But when you talk about a guy that gets it or doesn't, and guys that get it and understand it are the ones that are on the field, they've been clear about that throughout, that you've got to prove that you know and understand the concepts and can execute them.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what you're looking for in your own life when it comes to buying or selling a home, you need to work with a guy like John Leahy. That's a dude that understands the real estate game.
And that dude can figure out things for you. Just like Chandra, she was in the process of selling her Germantown, Maryland home, and she knew that, you know, she and her husband wanted to go buy their own house themselves. But, you know, she reached out to John. John came in and saved the day. John went out there, sold a house, and everything worked out so well that they were able to go out there and get their new home because they got more on their old home than they were asking for. John always goes out there and exceeds what you're asking for. See for yourself at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about our friend John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. Go to johnsellsdmv.com, find out your home's value in mere seconds. And John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
I think when it comes to talking to John Leahy, it's really about a human that can understand your situation and do what's best for you and your family. Listen, sometimes you're moving for not the best reasons. Say there's a divorce, a death in the family. Whatever it is, you're going to be stressed out, and you need an expert that understands the playing field. That's where John can help you. And then to go one step further, what if your house, you just need to spend 7-8 G's to paint and fix up your kitchen a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to put that money in, right? Well, talk to John. He can front you that cash, get you the repairs you need. You settle up with him on the back end, making your home more irresistible to buyers and in turn driving that price up. These are the kinds of things John Leahy can figure out because he's an expert, people. He's the DMV MVP of real estate. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Thursday is a national holiday. It is Thanksgiving. It's also
Landfill's birthday.
Yeah, man. Happy birthday to Landfill. I believe he's turning 30. Big year.
Nah, he's past 30.
I want to get to a couple calls. Devon is in Rockville. I know he'll text you mad at me if I don't go to him. Hello, Devon. How do you do?
Man, that was one time, man. And that was almost a year ago. I love you, JP. Hey, it's simple, man. I really don't have a distinctive blame pod number, but it's like we said, man, I felt it because we were letting them hang around. And a lot of it I do want to blame on the coaches, though. But then I get to do that. But what I blame on the coaches is he been preaching that we haven't been able to practice. So you finally get the 10 days to practice. And everybody is like, oh, I know they can't wait to get to their bye. But this 10 days is kind of like a mini bye. And for you to come out and not put your foot on their neck versus a team that you should know front and back defensively versus their offense. And it's like, but then on the other end, I hear my big bro B. Mitch always talk about it. The players is one thing. I mean, the coaches is one thing. But when you out there on the field, you got to make plays. And it was plays that was left out there offensively, man. I really feel like the last three games, it's a copycat league. And I think they, starting with Pittsburgh, it was Blitz JD5. And it rushes the plays, it rushes him, and it's like we're not making no adjustment against that. You know what I'm saying? I even tweeted it early in the game, like, why do we keep kicking it to Tober? Like, he's known to return it. I hope this don't bite us in the butt. And sure enough, it happened. You know what I'm saying? But it was just a bad day because 9 times out of 10, that play wouldn't happen again. You know what I'm saying? It just was a snowball effect for us not coming out hair on fire.
with everybody in the stadium yesterday. We were supposed to come out and just put them out there misery, like everybody's saying, go up 20. They would have quit, and we didn't do a good job. Now we, and one of the callers said he blamed the fans. Like, yeah, we talked our trash, but we don't have no control over the game. And we talked our trash factually because they saw it, and we used the better team, and we allowed them to come in our house and steal our food because we was playing with it. It's unexcusable of the loss, but hey, got to get back to the drawing board, like they say, man. And they just got to play with a little bit more urgency, man.
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Devon. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right, brother.
It's funny he brings up urgency because in the locker room on Thursday, urgency came up, and McLaurin had a great line. He's like, yeah, we feel the urgency. Every week is urgent. And if you think about the NFL, every Sunday is an event.
Yeah.
Every week is a huge deal. And I don't know that you can look at Terry yesterday and say it was an urgency issue.
He played urgent.
You know, sometimes guys, I never get in the effort game. I think that's a pretty dangerous place to get into when you see what football players look like after games. I don't think you can really go through it without the right effort. Now, maybe there are some things about execution and making mistakes and mentally being all the way there. But, B, one thing I do think needs discussion, and for a while it was easy to be dismissive of this because everything worked. One of the knocks on Cliff going into the season is that he doesn't move his receivers around. McLaurin has run the vast majority of his work on the left side of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
When he has been on the far right side or even in the slot, it's only 27 routes he's run the amount of routes he's run is probably 400, I would imagine.
Yesterday was on the right side.
On those plays, we know numerically it's not that it doesn't happen that often.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does happen, it tends to succeed. On the 27 routes run from the right side of the slot, he's caught 7 of 8 targets for a 170 and 2 touchdowns. And I think the deep shot yesterday, he was on the right side.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't a crosser, right? Like he lined up.
Upside line, yeah. Boom, hit him, kept going.
That looked like a deep post or something almost, because he was coming in and then he broke it back out to get down the field. It's tough because you don't want to be too reactionary each week to stuff, but now you've got 3 weeks in a row. If Terry doesn't have the 86-yarder yesterday, he finishes yesterday with like 15 yards.
16.
Yeah. So there are some glitches in this thing.
Yeah, but they have to do just like if you see that he's successful when you do things like that, you got to implement it. Find a way. And I understand the coaches that say we run our offense, we hit the wide receiver. I understand that. When a guy has shown you consistently he's that dude, you find a way to go to him more often. You know what I mean? Because CeeDee Lamb is the receiver they have, and they're going to find a way to get him 10, 15 targets a game.
I think Jason Garrett, who I don't think was a very good head coach, but I think Jason Garrett has a good fundamental understanding of offense, said they've got to get McLaurin involved earlier because it creates, even if it's the illusion of some sort of deep shot availability.
Yeah. And what it does, especially when you get the top receiver involved, just like anybody else, the other team thinks just like the fans. If we're thinking he needs the ball, the other team think he starts getting it, and then they're going to start thinking we got to stop him. So they start deploying more than one guy over there, which leaves other people wide open then. And that makes it easier for those guys that are not number one or two receivers. It gives them a chance to get open. It works hand in hand.
Trucker Dan is on the line. What up, Trucker?
What up, Dan?
That was a bad one yesterday. You know, I wasn't even mad. I was just upset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I like my team and I love my squad. I don't care. I talk a lot of trash, even if we lose it. But I was more so upset because this is a rivalry game. And goddamn, at the end, Austin Eckler gets smacked. Boom. And through the TV, you can hear the Cowboys fan chanting, "Let's go, Cowboys." Man, I was really mad when I saw that right there. Because the boy, I think he was conscious and all that. And you hear him chanting, on that whole field. We're not even Dallas.
I don't think the chanting was related to Eckler being injured. I think it was because they had just won the game and there were a bunch of them there.
Yeah, I know, but I felt in that moment, I wasn't happy because I was like, man, look what they did. Like, if I was a player, I'd have just took that to heart. Next time I played the Cowboys, it would have been on. I don't know how to feel about Kingsbury. I don't know what the hell going on with that man. I don't know why, like you said earlier, I don't know why Ben Sinner is not taking these offensive snaps because he's actually good. We need definitely another wide receiver. Too many drops. And what's going on with Anthony Lynn in the running scheme? I don't know. Why did not run to C-Rob? You know, I feel bad for them running back right now, man.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate the call. The run game situation, B, I don't want to speculate head injuries, but I do know this is Eckler's second concussion this season. I do know that yesterday they took him to the hospital after the game just to be cautious and make sure they were able to monitor him. You and I were in that tunnel when he walked off. Not a great scene, right?
No.
Robinson didn't get a second half carry with this ankle issue. Not what looked like really bad early in the game because he came back in after that, but afterwards there was an ankle issue. Listen to this. Through 7 weeks in the NFL, the Commanders were seventh in plays to go 10 or more yards.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh. 22% of their plays were going 10 or more yards. In the last five games, they're 30th in the league.
Wow.
And I think when you see that kind of a swing, there's got to be a holistic approach to it because it's there's not any one thing. It's not like Cliff was good and now sucks. It's not like Jaden was good and is now bad. Mm-hmm. But I think all of these things are factors, dude. And there, one thing we have applauded this staff for, B, and I think we've seen it defensively for sure, Joe Witt has said it on the podium. Players, not plays. Mm-hmm. Like, let's get our guys into the best positions and let's be nimble and flexible. One thing I do not like when coaches do it is stick to their system because it's their system and our system will work. Now, if your film study and your analytics tell you that this is an execution issue, the plays are there, we're just not getting it done, okay. But I don't know how long that can go.
Yeah.
I don't know that now is the time to pull the ripcord, but it's getting close.
Yeah.
It's getting close.
With that.
Phones are packed. We're going to keep them going. Nobody go anywhere. Rosenberg joins us at 12:30. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right, a lot of folks been on hold a long time.
Let's get them.
Rusty's in Delaware. What up, Russ?
Hey, fellas. How we doing today?
Good, buddy.
Good,
how are you?
Not good.
Good, not good. It's all the same right now. Going back to what Jeff's was, do you guys remember when RG3 wore the Sean Taylor jersey at the Pro Bowl? That was kind of weird.
I gladly had forgotten that.
You're welcome for the reminder. My blame pie, here we go. I'm usually kind of 50-50 or 100%, but I got some detail. Thinking about this on the ride home last night, and I was one of the 63 people listening to your podcast, JP.
Appreciate you.
And, yeah, man, always. So the defense, I'm going 25%. I think the coverage was just a little inconsistent. It seemed like every time on third downs, it was like, where's 25? We're going to throw it at him. And that kind of continues to be a thing, but, you know, what we got. I thought there was a real lack of a pass rush. I think the Cowboys were down a few linemen and we had one sack.
There.
Still, can't stop the run. It's a weekly thing. I know they didn't break 100, but very early they were dominating the line of scrimmage. And it was just one of those things where it was like, okay, is this ever Joe Witt's done an awesome job, in my opinion. I'm confused to why the adjustment of stopping the run hasn't really happened. On the offensive side, I'm going 45%, offensive line struggles. I know a lot of guys are getting banged up and everything, but it just seemed like they had no answer for Micah. I don't know what his numbers were, but he was everywhere. The field position gifts, not capitalizing on those. So frustrating to see, you know, you get a such, you know, such a short field, and you think we have an offense that can move to that short field, and you don't capitalize on anything. I think I saw Tressway has punted 17 times in the last three games. Like, that's unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
And yep. And Terry on third down doesn't seem to be on the field. At least he wasn't early in the game. Not quite sure.
He ended up playing like 85% of the snaps, so some of it is just if he's run two long routes and just needs a blow. But, yeah, gotcha. I hear you.
I think even
the two-point conversion, he wasn't out there. The first two-point conversion, and then Dallas called a timeout, and then he was out there.
The rest, 20% to special teams, way too many errors. 10% to coaching. I think it was very conservative on the offensive side. It seemed like there was just couldn't get the plays in, couldn't get the plays going. I don't know. I think you guys mentioned earlier when they're in tempo, everything seems to be fine, but it's just they've got some work to do. And I know they've played for like 18, 19 straight weeks, but you know, if they're going to make the tournament, we got some work to do.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate the call. I'm going to give you mine real quick. I haven't gone. I don't know the percentages, but there's a number of people I think I'm going to name some names here.
Mm-hmm.
John Bates had a fumble. You're trying to come back in a game that you never should have been this far down the line in. You cannot fumble in that situation.
Yeah,
we've talked about it at length, but Austin Seibert, you were really good before the hip injury. I don't know what happened yesterday. If it is just a one-off thing, you know, sometimes it feels like the world is caving in on you. Mm-hmm. I know that feeling, and it had to feel like that for him yesterday.
Got to fight through it.
But the performance has to be better. Kingsbury, you're in charge of the play calling, dude, and it's just you get gifted field position. The amount of gifts that were handed to this Washington team in the first half that were not taken advantage of is just it's a bore. Like, it's not winning football. I thought Dallas did a really good job blitzing and rushing with their front. The O-line's got to be better. I know the injuries are piling up, but I was pretty surprised by that. Noah Igbinoghene, two killer pass interference calls, both of which were pretty legit. You match that with Benjamin St. Juice on the deep ball, the ability for them to get, I think it was a field goal just before halftime.
Mm-hmm.
You lose three in a row, and this one you lose to a team that's 3-7. The head coach got to take some ownership. I got DQ on my list. I thought the D-line, Dallas had not been able to run the ball whatsoever. And maybe it's an oversimplification to go at the D-line for this, but Rico Dowdle went 19 for 86, averaged 4.5 per carry yesterday. They were able to run the ball pretty well. And that is a recurring theme for the Washington defense. Something's got to be better there. And then lastly, I suppose this stat exists somewhere, and I could try to look it up. Brian, you give up not one but two kickoff return for touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
That is unacceptable. And I get the last one was an onside.
The last one is more just like Jaden's last interception, desperation.
The last pick shouldn't even count to me. But I hear you. But the Turpin one's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you got one of the best return men. I don't know. I don't love the decision to kick the Turpin. I don't love the coverage, all of it. But, like, the kickoff coverage has to be on this list in that situation.
If the coverage stayed in their lanes, they'd make that tackle.
Phone lines are packed. Is everybody ready? Is everybody prepared? Are you prepared, Brian?
For what?
Rev T when we come back.
Let's go get it.